This is All Things Considered from NPR News. Guy Raz is away. I'm Rachel Martin. We'd like to start today by introducing you to Tom Gamble.
I'm a rural carrier with the U.S. Postal Service on my 24th year. My route is New Middletown, Ohio. It's just a little over 26 miles, but it takes about 4.5 hours to sort it and about 4 hours to deliver it. The biggest reward, I think, is probably the relationships you develop with your customers. Some of the older people and retired people, definitely on a first-name basis. In the very isolated areas, sometimes in the course of a week, the mail carrier might be the only person customers will see. There's countless stories of carriers that have been looking out for some of their older customers, some of the ones they know are frail, and saved the lives of customers because their mail started to build up in the mailbox. We kind of keep an eye on the neighborhoods. We know who the kids are, where they should be, where they shouldn't be. Unfortunately, as things have progressed here with the Postal Service, there's more and more pressure to do things in less and less time, so we have a little less time to communicate with our customers.
That's today's cover story, Checks in the Mail, Fixing the U.S. Postal System. More than 500,000 people work for the U.S. Postal Service. It's the seventh largest employer in the world. And like a lot of businesses, this one is being transformed by the Internet. Just in the last 4 years, for instance, mail volume is down 20%. So the Postal Service is struggling to reinvent itself. But change isn't easy. Thousands of post offices may have to be shut down. The Postmaster General, Patrick Donahoe, went to Congress recently to ask for help. This week, postal workers rallied against possible closures. Donahoe's plan, which President Obama has endorsed, could mean layoffs, closures, and an end to Saturday delivery. 50 years ago, the Postal Service had a very different kind of problem.
They've got more mail than ever before.
It's stuffed in bags, stacked on shelves.
There's hardly room for anything more.
There's been a mail explosion.
Back in the 1960s, the Postal Service was pushing a new idea, zip codes, as a way to organize delivery of all that mail. Today, the new ideas to save the post office don't really fit in a jingle. In Congress, Representative Daryl Issa, a Republican from California, wants the service to be under tighter controls. Issa would create a control board that could renegotiate union contracts, and he blames the leaders of the Postal Service for its problems.
They have gone the wrong way. They have gone from having no debt to having $15 billion in debt, which was their debt limit, and $5.5 billion that they can't pay that's due in a few days. That tells us, as a businessman, that no matter what they say, they have more than a small cash flow problem.
Senator Tom Carper, a Democrat from Delaware, agrees there is a problem. But the solution he is proposing is very different.
Part of what we need to do is to enable the Postal Service to take the steps that are appropriate as they right-size their enterprise for the 21st century, much like the auto industry did in this country a couple of years ago.
You talk about how the Postal Service actually does something a little different and sets aside payments for health care benefits for retirees. How has that made things complicated for the Postal Service?
Well, the Postal Service's competition doesn't have to set aside money for the health care benefits for their future retirees. Almost no state or local government does that. Relatively few private companies do that. Under the 2006 legislation, the Postal Service has to set aside each year a lot of money, $5 to $6 billion, to have at the ready when their folks retire and need health care benefits. And we've said for some time that there's a possibility that Postal Service has overpaid money into two pension plans. And to the extent that that actually turns out to be the case, the money could be drawn down from one of the overpayments or one of the overpayments repaid, and that money used over a period of 5 or 6 years to prepay health or retiree benefits for pensioners.
And should the Post Service be out to make a profit? I mean, that's what corporations do. That's what happens in the private industry.
What would be, I think, desirable is for the Postal Service over time to be able to be at least a break-even operation, which would mean in some years with an up economy, more business. But unfortunately, if we put the Postal Service on autopilot, we're told the Postal Service is online to run up deficits for about another $225 billion over the next 10 years. Again, their line of credit is only $15 billion, so they cannot continue to do business as usual.
That's Democratic Senator Tom Carper. He joined us from Newcastle, Delaware. Senator, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yep, great to be with you today.
So what model would work for the U.S. Postal Service? We posed that question to James Campbell. He's co-editor of the Handbook of Worldwide Postal Reform. So he thinks about these issues a lot. And he says the U.S. could learn lessons from postal systems in other countries.
What's happened in other industrialized countries is very similar to the situation here, at least in terms of the decline in mail. In general, other countries have looked at this situation and decided we have to allow the post office to become more commercial, and we have to make them become more commercial. And the post offices in other countries have become more profitable, more commercial, more customer-oriented, and so on.
Which countries are doing that well?
I would say maybe Germany, Netherlands, New Zealand, Sweden, Norway.
In Germany, what does the postal service there look like?
They have, in effect, rethought what the post office does. They have reorganized their transportation network, their sorting systems, and how they move the mail.
So they've invested more money.
They have also expanded globally. All right. Their view is that the express business, the package business, is becoming a global business, which is probably true. And so they bought DHL, one of the leading international express companies, and they have become a leading international transportation company.
So DHL, when I send a package through DHL, that's the German Post Service
that
owns that?
That's the Deutsche Post, right.
Huh.
In fact, the mail business for them is only a minority of their business.
The Postal Service has access to almost every single American, anyone with a mailing address. That's a pretty awesome commodity for some kind of corporation to take advantage of. And defined lines of transit, infrastructure. If you just gave that to a corporation, some kind of entrepreneur, and said, make this, do with this what you will, what would come out on the other end?
The Postal Service is beginning, although it may not be obvious on the outside, but the Postal Service is beginning to act more commercially. So, for example, Federal Express now provides the air transportation for their letters and priority mail. And in addition, Federal Express has a partnership with the Post Office, which the FedEx people call Smart Post. They deliver to the Post Office a million packages a day. Which the Postal Service delivers. And what's going on there is FedEx has a very good collection system, but for them to deliver to household residences is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The Postal Service has a great household delivery system. It's a natural partnership. UPS is also working with the Post Office in the same way.
If our postal system is revolutionized to the point where it is drastically streamlined, what changes for consumers in this kind of new era of postal service?
If you look at foreign posts, they have tended to drastically reduce the number of post offices. The British Post Office now operates, I think, is less than 5% of their offices. The German Post Office, is, at least as I remember, has one post office left that they actually operate. In the country. All the other post offices are operated by local businesses, by Kmart, you know, Walmart, or by 7-Eleven. They're located in what was virtually the old general store. They find that they wind up providing better service, longer hours, at lower cost by this sort of a system. All right? It is possible to imagine in the United States, as in other countries, that the post office adapts and transforms into another useful, important sort of operation. But it's not going to be the carrier of letters and sentiments and Aunt Minnie's thank you notes.
But Aunt Minnie still needs a way to get her thank you notes.
I know.
To her people. That's Jim Campbell. He's a postal policy consultant and co-editor of the Handbook of Worldwide Postal Reform. Jim, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks.
But folks like Tom Gamble, remember, he's the mail carrier from Ohio we heard from earlier. He says closing post offices will take a toll on rural communities. He's also the president of the state's Association of Rural Letter Carriers.
Could be a devastating effect on them. For instance, if I go to an address with a parcel that has to be signed for and they're not there, I leave them a notice and take it back to the post office. That may be 60 miles for that person to drive to get to that post office. There are people that rely heavily in the rural communities for, we carry livestock, we carry feed, we carry seed. a lot of things that the rural community depends on.
You mentioned livestock?
Yeah, we carry baby chicks, rabbits, down to crickets.
In boxes?
Yes.
I guess they have to move from one point to the other somehow.
Yes. Uh-huh. It can, when you're driving and you're hearing that peeping for 3.5 hours, it can be a little a little testy, but we get it there.
But I imagine at this point in your career, nothing surprises you?
Oh, no. No. Even the greeting cards that keep singing to you while you're driving.
When people find out that you're a mail carrier and have been a mail carrier for so long, are there a couple of stories that you always tell?
I like to tell people that it's a good job, and we all enjoy it. It may seem a little far-fetched, but you feel like you're part of somebody's family, because there's a lot you can tell from somebody's mail. I know who's in trouble, who's not, just by the mail that comes out. Who's having a birthday? Who's lost a loved one? And that you just can't replace those kinds of things.
That's Thomas Gamble. He's a rural postal carrier in Youngstown, Ohio, and president of the state's Association of Rural Letter Carriers. He joined us from member station WYSU in Youngstown, Ohio. Mr. Gamble, thanks so much for talking with us. It was a pleasure.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you.